my God, Kevin Barker, have you got a candle handy?
I got a couple.
Because we got a light one for Max Scherzer in his bullpen session.
Oh.
I mean, he cannot, we can't, I can't live through another Spencer Turnbull experience. I just can't.
No?
No, not happening. Not happening. 7-1, the Chicago White Sox, one of the worst teams in baseball history. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration. But the team with the worst road record in 2025, that isn't an exaggeration, coming into Toronto, taking the Blue Jays out to the woodshed in the first of a three-game series. The numbers to call are 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. 590-590 is the text line. And Chris LaRue talked about this on the broadcast. It's swell and fine and dandy to have fun with bullpen days when you win, but eventually it does catch up to you. And I think tonight was eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Look, what do we really expect Turnbull to go out and, you know, dominate every single time?
Well, I don't expect to dominate, Kevin, but I wouldn't mind more than two-plus innings, 45 pitches, and 24 strikes. I'm not asking too much, am I, against the Chicago White Sox?
Well, the last time we saw him throw, it's the low 90s. Today it was the high 80s. Like, I mean, low 90s, high 80s, right? 2025, is that going to work even against the White Sox? I mean, you know, I said today when you asked me, you know, he's got to throw this when they're looking for that. And, you know, when your fastball's in the high 80s, you almost have to be perfect. And when you're not, you get hammered. And that's exactly what happened. You know, it's, again, I hate to say this. This is baseball. Boy, that is the easiest way for me to, you know, sort of ride on top of the fence and not go, you know, one side or the other. But it really is. I mean, you know, Fluharty looks a little off to me. I mean, he's, you know, 23-year-old. That's his 33rd game today. That's a lot. You know, there's just a grind of a Major League Baseball season, just trying to figure out how to get the best finish out of, you know, your arm possible every single time you go out there. You can tell he's, you know, arm speed, and like I mentioned, the finish is just not consistently there. But there were some good things, Bo, with the three hits. Greenstone a little bit harder. It's nice to see Nick Sandlin. You know, that's pretty cool.
7-1 to the White Sox.
Braden Fisher. I mean, again, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, occasionally you're going to throw the wrong guy, you know, and the guy's going to go out and not do. And that's exactly what happened today. And they can just sort of throw this one in the garbage, never think about it again, go about tomorrow, because you got an actual starter starting tomorrow that will give you a decent chance to maybe win in the game.
A couple of folks on the text line wondering about the outfield defense tonight, Kevin.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, well, the Class A ball, right? I mean, that cost Turnbull two runs, right? I mean, that, you know, if that play's made, which every, you know, decent center fielder in the big league should make that play. For me, he shouldn't have left his feet. I mean, you run back, you look up, you catch the ball. I mean, it's sort of that little bit of afraid of the fence, you know. It, and when balls are hitting you basically in the heel of the glove, basically means that, for me anyway, with what I was seeing, you're more worried about the fence than you are catching the baseball. And, you know, again, with the dude standing on the mound, you have to play a perfect game behind him. When you don't, you give up early runs. Puts a lot of pressure on dudes to, again, go out. Like I said today, when you're not used to seeing certain guys, you chase. You know, you don't have the quality at bats that you normally have. And because you're behind, you put a little bit more pressure on yourself. And it looks like it looked against the worst team, or one of the worst teams in baseball. They had 7 wins on the road coming in today.
Worst road. They're worse than the Colorado Rockies on the road, and that takes some doing.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. So, again, I mean, if you're John, if you're the entire team, you throw this one in the garbage. You hope and pray that Max shows up and be decent. I mean, you don't have to be great. Just be decent. Decent enough to get you past the fifth inning so you can turn it over to a bullpen. I mean, poor little and Fluharty.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just wearing them dudes out. So hopefully they figure out whatever they're trying to figure out, the rotation, and dudes show up and start giving them some innings and take a little pressure and just some wear and tear off those guys that are just, quite frankly, not used to having wear and tear on their arm.
Scott in Beamsville on the text line kind of echoing your concerns, your sentiments. Says, do the Jays need a long man mop-up slot pitcher? Nights like tonight, it bothers me that they consider using a guy like Little even just for one inning. You know, you look at John's use of pitchers tonight, Fluharty, Little, Sandlin. I don't mind using Sandlin because, you know, he's off the IL and just kind of working back in. I don't know. Little, Hoffman. I mean, I understand what John is doing. John is doing this with an eye toward, you know, hopefully getting good starts out of Berríos and Bassett down the road. Hoffman, I'm sure, Kevin, was just something. Get him out there. He hasn't been out there for a while. Let him throw a little bit, you know, and then hopefully you need him.
Yeah,
you got
to remember too. They know a lot more than we know about their pitchers,
exactly.
Right? I mean, they know who's available, who's not. Paxton Schell's not available. Right. Yariel Rodriguez, you ain't getting the ball. I mean, it's pockets, right? It's a couple of lefties and a righty. Like, it's what the scoreboard's telling you. Yariel's the ninth inning guy. It's not sort of this guy down as many runs as they were down in that pocket. Like,
yeah, you're not. You know, let's face it. You're not going to use Yariel Rodriguez and Jeff Hoffman in this game. Those are your two leverage guys right now. If you're John Schneider.
I mean, again, it is about when the starter or the guy that got the ball first, you know, sort of stunk as bad as Turnbull did. It just, you know, puts pressure on John. You know, you saw the camera whenever it was panning over to those two, the pitching coach and the manager. They're looking at each other like, you have any idea? I don't. Well, what do you want to do? I don't know. You tell me.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 590 is a text line. Jack in the annex. You're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Spencer Turnbull was just putrid out there tonight. He's clearly not going to be the guy that they're maybe hoping for in the rotation when they signed him. And with Scherzer still being kind of questionable about his health long-term and Bowden Francis looking, do they need – who is the sort of pitcher that they want to be able to go out and pick up? Because they clearly need another starter. This can't keep going. This is the sort of bullpen day you kind of expect to eventually happen. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I mean, before they, you know, we anticipate that they will be active at the trade deadline. Now, will they be active before the trade deadline? It's the old story. If you make a deal before the trade deadline, or the farther away from the trade deadline you make the deal, generally the more you have to give up. And right now, quite frankly, there aren't a lot of teams that are in position to sell starting pitchers, and those that are have got starting pitchers that, you know, quite frankly, aren't much better than what the Blue Jays have right now. So, you know, I think it's pretty straightforward. You see what Max Scherzer is going to give you. I don't think anybody's counting on Max Scherzer to throw complete games or go seven innings every time he's out. But I think you see where Max Scherzer is. And I think you still have to go out, though, and add that other starting pitcher. I've said this all along. To me, what Max Scherzer gives me is a bonus this year. And I just can't I hate to say this, but I can't count on him to make every scheduled start. Maybe he can. I hope he can. But I've got to operate under the assumption that he's probably not going to, because that's kind of the way this season has looked for him. So,
yeah, I would think trying to make it through a season of the unknown, like you just mentioned with Max and then Eric Lauer, who, you know, let's be honest, is playing with house money here. Like,
yep.
That's a tough ask. Like, you know, if you have any doubt whatsoever that Max can't give you a start every 5 days, you go out and get somebody that can. Like,
I think you do anyhow. I think you do anyhow. I think you go out and you get the best starting pitcher you can get at the trade deadline, period. And then you worry about it after that. It's like you used to say about adding that middle-of-the-order hitter at the trade deadline. Just get him, and then we'll worry about how the lineup looks and how it shakes out. And I think that's the same thing. You get the best starting pitcher you can get at the trade deadline, and then you go from there.
Yeah. I mean, as much as the big three have thrown the last 5 years, how the back end's looking, how it's not looking, you know, how Bowden Francis is taking a step back. You know, they, for me anyway, need another eighth inning guy. Get Jimmy back. Maybe that's your eighth inning guy. Maybe that's he's fresh down the stretch of the season. Look, for me, they need another high leverage arm, and they need at least a number three. Boy, that's some heavy lift, Jeff. I just don't know where they're going. I don't know what they're going to give up to get both of those things. You know, it's not anymore, I don't think, because of who's coming in Varsho and Tony Taters, that it's the offensive side that they're probably pointing their finger at. It's more now about pitching, right? You know, how do you not kill the big three? How do you figure out how to get whatever you're trying to get from four and five, whoever's here or what's coming? And then how do you not kill Little, Fluharty, Rodriguez, Sandlin? I'm sure they're going to abuse the you-know-what out of Sandlin now that he's back. Like, you know, so how do you not do that? How do you get to the season? How do they at least be relevant just by arm strength and being able to get people out come September? That's going to be the big thing here because of how much you've had to throw these dudes, Jeff, early in the season. How do you get the best out of them in September without going out and adding another eighth inning guy? I don't know if they have the answer to that, so hopefully they do it.
Jerry in Montreal, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
I got you loud and clear, Jerry.
Okay, great. Guys, I got to talk a little bit about Andre Jimenez, because this guy's sticking out like a sore thumb in the middle of that lineup with that .290 batting average. It doesn't make any sense to me for him to be the protection hitter, especially when you got a guy right behind him like Clement hitting .298. Honestly, I don't know who was asking before this season started for this team to pick up a three-time gold glove second baseman who's hitting a .290 for $15 million average for the next 5.5 years. I don't know what they're going to do with this guy. If it was up to me, I'd play Clement at second, Barger at third, get somebody else to play in the outfield, whether it be Straw or whoever else, and I can't wait for Varsho to come back and play center field so somebody can catch a ball at the fence. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the call. I mean, I hate to tell you this, but the plan is for Andrés Giménez to be your shortstop next year if you don't sign Bo Bichette. That's pretty clear. Look, Andrés Giménez is now, his batting average is below, I think it's 194 now after tonight, 195. After tonight, we saw early in the year some offense from him. I don't think any of us thought that it was, you know, that this was the real deal, that this is what we were going to see. I really think, Kevin, especially in a night when Alejandro Kirk isn't in the lineup, this really gets down to one of those bat path things. You know, I mean, there are lots of layers to how this lineup is set. And I'm sure that once you get past the top four, you're starting to get a whole bunch of cackification going on when it comes to setting your lineup.
Yeah, I'm sure it was today, right? I mean, both sides were playing the bullpen game, and you know, it depends on who's coming in and you know, trying to match up the right pocket in the right at the right time, right? I mean, you don't want to put Heinemann up there. You wouldn't put Lucas up there. Jonathan Clase is a 9-hole hitter, right? I mean, you know, when everybody's back, he's hitting eighth or ninth.
Yep.
Right now, just, yep. You know, you mentioned Kirky. If Kirky's in there, he's probably not hitting sixth. Somebody else is. He might still be hitting eighth or ninth, you know, even without Varsho and Tony. So, you know, again, I think it's defense up the middle just because of, you know, what they have in the rotation, what they don't have in the pen, those kind of things, right? Ball's going to be put in play. You need really good defense up the middle. What you get from that dude's gravy. I think they knew that coming in, but I think they were going to try and hide it because of what Tony was adding, because they thought, you know, a healthy Bo Kirky probably turned the corner, be a little bit better. I'm sure they didn't think this, you know, Springer not leading off. They thought they'd get more from him. So they can hide that dude at the bottom of the lineup and what else, you know, whatever he gives you offensively, like I mentioned, Scravy. So I wouldn't read too much into it. I mean, he is what he is. He's a really good defender. When everybody gets back, I'm assuming you probably wouldn't even notice he's in the lineup just because of what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, and you made the point. I mean, this pitching staff, this starting rotation in particular, isn't going to strike out a lot of guys. The ball's going to be in play an awful lot. And you want to have strength up the middle defensively. And frankly, the Jays have that with Kirk, Jimenez, Bo, and Varsho when he's here. That's okay. I mean, that's more than okay. That defense up the middle would be among the best in the league, to be honest.
But to the caller's point, I do think the lack of adjustments in game just by taking the same old swing over and over and over again. Like, he's a big leaguer. He's been around long enough to know that, you know, something's not right, right? It's a little – for me, it's not connected enough, right? It's a little out and around. His hands get a little too far away from his body. You know, sometimes that leg kick's just a little bit too big. It's in between. You don't know when to start it. His foot's not getting down on time. You know, he's indecisive on what he's wanting to swing at, what his approach is, where he's trying to hit the ball, where he wants it to end up. That's a lot going on. That's what I said. You know, when everybody gets back, they can hide him at the bottom of the lineup. They're going to play him just because of how much money they're paying him. They ain't going to bench him. They ain't going to play Ernie over him most of the time. Maybe against tough lefties, Ernie'd play there. Barger'd play third. Like, you know, John will do whatever John has to do to put the best lineup on the field. But most of the time, I'm you know, probably in your camp. He's playing second, so I'd get used to it.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays losing 7-1 tonight to the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox, the worst road team in the major leagues, and they also snapped an 8-game losing streak with their win tonight. So we'll step away and come back, look at the out-of-town scoreboard, and go back to the phone lines, hear from the skipper as well as Blue Jays talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I thought the bullpen, you know, it's you don't want to bring in guys, you know, certain guys, you know, Hoff, Little, really, I mean, really any, you know, you want to be in a different spot. But I thought they did a good job from the fourth inning on. Fish was great, giving us two there, and I think everyone kind of did their part in a game like that. But you want to try to avoid that for sure. But again, it's that fine line between planning for the next day and trying to keep the game that you're competing in kind of at bay.
That is manager John Schneider speaking after a 7-1 loss to the Chicago White Sox. And, Kevin, you know, I wonder, we've seen the Blue Jays have a lot of come-from-behind wins this year. They've been scoring runs a fair amount recently, and I wonder if that went into John Schneider's thinking here as well. You know, I've got a team that can come back. Yeah, 7-0 seems like it's a bit of a hill to climb, but there's still four innings left. Maybe I got to keep it close and give my guys a chance to come through.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, he's doing the best he can to look competitive, you know, and try and give his lineup at least a decent chance to make a little run at it. And, you know, he knows who he's facing. He just said it. He didn't want to throw Little. He didn't have a choice. Like, you know, you don't want to throw Fluhar. You don't have a choice. Pitch
time
better.
Now for the
starter needs to pitch better. Yeah.
Time now for the Bet365 standings update. You can download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19-plus play responsibly, Ontario only. Everybody else is playing in the American League East right now, so we'll skip the standings. We'll give you the scores, though. The Baltimore Orioles are leading the New York Yankees 5-3. They are in the top of eight. The Tampa Bay Rays, Kevin Barker, in the sixth inning, 9-5. They are leading the Detroit Tigers. Detroit, the best team in the American League. Tampa Bay making an awful lot of noise in the American League East. And out in San Francisco, Rafael Devers and the San Francisco Giants are just getting ready to take on his former team, the Boston Red Sox. And taking a look at the National League East, big game tonight in the National League East. The Philadelphia Phillies having their way with the New York Mets 8-2. The Phillies are currently leading, and that's obviously a pivotal series, even though it's early in the season in the National League East. You've got to think the Phillies will want to make a little bit of a mark there against the Mets. And, of course, Kevin, Rafael Devers in Boston, that'll be a show tonight. That'll absolutely be a show tonight.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what his at-bats look like. You know, it's you know, sometimes I've been there, but not to the, you know, the extreme that he is with, you know, the reasons why he left Boston. But, you know, you try too hard, you expand, you want to show him, right? I'll show you how I'm what you're going to miss me. It's that kind of thing. Will he do that? Will he be under control? You know, I'm assuming he's not playing first. I didn't look, but I'm assuming he's still DHing. So, yeah, I mean, that's an intriguing matchup. You know, the Yankees, you know, where's the run scoring coming from them? Tampa Bay might be the best team now in the American League East. But this is, you know, getting back to our point about the Blue Jays and the rotation and innings with where it's at, with what the Yankees are not doing. It's not a good time right now to have a little hiccup in your rotations. Hopefully the Blue Jays can figure it out.
By the way, you are correct. Rafael Devers is DHing and hitting third tonight. So, Bob Melvin, without the sense of humor I was hoping he'd have.
Well, I mean, he's trying to keep him healthy. That's what it is, right? I mean, it ain't.
Still,
I'll show
be
you.
Fun.
It's.
Well, I'd start him at first base, then move him to third halfway through the game or something like that. And then, yeah, that's
it's
just
been a while since he's played the field.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. 590 is the text line. Kevin, my guess is that Rafael Devers would have played, will play tonight in any position standing on his head against the Boston Red Sox. David in Calgary, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Fellas, thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it. Jeff, boy, I don't listen as much as I wish I did or wish I could, but boy, I miss your sense of humor and your sarcasm. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Hey,
we're on podcast, by the way. You can listen to us anytime you want. Hell, if you want, I'll come over to your house and do a private show for you.
Hey, listen, we talk a lot of baseball out here in Calgary.
I know you do.
Yeah, it's a big baseball town out here, surprisingly, for a lot of people. But hey, I don't have any specific questions about the game tonight, even though I did watch. But I had a couple specific baseball strategy questions. One's hitting for Kev, and one's pitching related. So I'll start with the pitching one. I noticed when I watch the staff, whether it's out of the bullpen, no matter what the situation is, or the starters, that we get beat often not with our best stuff. So my question around that is, do the staff and the catchers go out there and work with a scouting report and actually try to pitch to hitters, opponents' weaknesses, versus just going best stuff and hoping that you don't get beat with your best stuff? That's my first question. And my second question is a hitting question for you, Kev. And when I grew up playing the game, not obviously at a high level like you, but when you took a walk and you were watching your teammate take a walk in front of you and the starter threw three or four balls, the first pitch that you saw, you were taking in your next at-bat. And I don't know if the game's changed so much so that that doesn't happen anymore, and a hitter is going up there looking for a specific pitch or looking for an area or a zone, and he's looking to drive something, no matter what the guy before him did. Is that a flawed thing that I'm thinking that they should be taking in that situation? Good Yankee teams many years ago, they'd play those 3.5-4-hour games, and they'd get into teams' bullpens early because they worked counts and they saw a lot of pitches. I don't see that a lot today. So am I wrong on those two fronts?
Thank you, David. I'll turn it over to Mr. Barker.
Yeah, no, the first one about the pitching. Yeah, I mean they're you know there's information overload. A lot of guys can pitch to weaknesses. A lot of guys can't. Right. I mean, we've seen Hoffman try to pitch the weaknesses. Dude don't like split fingers, getting a bunch of them, you know, and he rarely throws the heater. We've had John on many times, says he needs to use his fastball more. You know, it's sort of a fine line between how you're feeling and what you should be throwing, and if you're going to get beat, which pitch are you going to get beat with. So, yeah, I think there's a fine line there. It is very individual. Some guys can do it. Some guys can't. Offensively, I don't think they do that anymore. I don't think it's like you're having your at-bat determined on how the at-bat in front of you is going. Now, I know for a fact, because I've asked, you know, one of the reasons why they split Bo and Vladdy up, you know, 1-3 now, is because Vladdy was having a real tough time following Bo because of how quickly the outs were being had. I don't want to be, you know, sort of trying to figure out how to have a different kind of an at-bat because Bo's, you know, swinging at something he shouldn't be swinging at, popping out to the second baseman. And now I got to go up and take a couple pitches that normally I'd be trying to put my A swing on. So, you know, it is a little, I think, more about only got basically one pitch, one A swing per at bat. If that's the first one, no matter how the at bat went in front of me, I'm going to, you know, try and do my best to put out that A swing. So, yeah, it's very individual. It's very determined on where you're at, I think, in the lineup. You know, if you're at the bottom of the lineup, the at-bats are going to look a little different than it would look at the top of the lineup. I don't think you're wrong in the way you're thinking. I just don't think a lot of guys think that way.
And it used to be also, Kevin, the idea that if a pitcher's just walked somebody, you've got to think that he wants to get ahead. And with the next batter, you would think that would be human nature, that you want to get ahead on the next batter. So obviously, if you're the next batter, you're thinking maybe I've got a pretty good chance of getting a strike here to swing at, or getting something in the zone to swing at.
Yeah, Dusty Baker used to always tell us when I played for him when I was with the Reds, he always said scoreboard will tell you everything you need to know. A lot of that, too, is about the inning that's happening in, right?
Fair.
I mean, first inning, a dude's a little bit wild. He walks a guy in front of you. I mean, that's not as big a deal if you're going up hunting a pitch in a certain window. You get it. You put your best swing on it. Maybe you get out, but at least you're hunting a certain window. You're getting a certain pitch. Sixth or seventh inning, you're down a run or two. The at-bat may look a little different, right? You want to make him and force him into the zone, see if he can throw back-to-back strikes. It is, I think, a little bit different, but I just don't think consistently, because of the ages of most of these lineups and just, you know, a lot of it, you're not paying attention, and these guys are so good that you're facing with the size of the velocity and, you know, the tunneling of the secondary stuff. It is very hard to take strikes, and they're afraid to do it a little bit too, I think.
Nikhil in Mississauga, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hello, boys. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Perfect. Disappointing loss today, but I had a question regarding Davis Schneider. He had a great start 2022, right? Came onto the scene bursting, but since then, he's hitting .154 this year. What are we going to do with Davis Schneider? Because it seems every time I turn on the TV and every time I see him bat, it's just a strikeout. Like, it could be high, it could be low, it could be off-speed fastball, but what are we going to do with Davis Schneider now? Again, or trade him, or DFA him, but that's my big question for today.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I mean, I don't think they're worried one way or another. I mean, he's one of the last guys on the roster here. You know, certainly decisions are going to have to be made when Santander and Varsho come back. I think Miles Straw, providing the ankle's fine. Miles Straw, to me, is your fourth outfielder here. Addison Barger's obviously not going anywhere.
No,
I can see a scenario where Davis Schneider is sent back to AAA. I mean, trade him. You're not going to get much for him. I don't mind having Davis Schneider down at AAA, Kevin. I just don't.
No.
I don't. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, he's just a guy. To me, he's just
You know, you got Roden, you got Classe, you got Schneider. You know, that sort of little group of pocket of guys, whenever your sort of Varshos and Tony Taters get back, you know, two of the three got to go. It's the matchups. It's where the other guys are at. It's how many days a certain guy would be playing. You know, who else plays the same position as Davis Schneider plays. You know, it's where you're at in the schedule, how many lefties they got, which way would you use your bench, and whether you keep Classe or Davis Schneider. I mean, they both have options. So, yeah, I mean, it's sort of, I think that's where they're at. They don't really care. I think if you're a Jays fan, you got to be happy about that. They're keeping the best 26 guys. If you ain't getting it done, I mean, really, he ain't really even playing.
No,
you know,
I mean,
just all that tinkering and you know, consistently just attacking and being able to move the fastball forward with authority, it's just not consistently there. John's giving him, you know, chances against lefties. It's just when you're sitting over there a couple of days because of, you know, all the tinkering that it does, it's very hard for him to come off and be competitive.
Yeah, listen,
so
to me,
I don't think they really care. I'm with you.
No, to me, it's a good thing that you're not counting on him every day. I think that says that your lineup's better. I think it says that your roster's better. I mean, I will say this for Davis Schneider. It's very odd, but when you look at a lot of those outfielders, you're talking about guys who are batting left. Davis Schneider's right-handed bat actually coming in a little handy for him right now. Probably gives him a little more value than he might have had otherwise, but... Yeah, you know, he'll be down at AAA at some point, and, you know, we'll go from there. You may not see him again for the rest of the year if everybody stays healthy. But, I got to tell you the truth. I hadn't even thought of Davis Schneider in, like, the last 2 weeks. So that's
where
we
are. I think sometimes he tinkers a little bit too much. You know, after he did all the slugging to the pull side, I think that's sort of what they were telling him to do, right? Do nothing but try and do that. He adjusted mechanically, trying to, you know, have the straighter up and down, more leg kick, you know, all the stuff that keeps you in the minor leagues.
Jay in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hello.
Hey, Jay, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing well, thanks. Doing well.
Yeah. Hey, I guess I just wanted to get Mr. Barker's take on this. You know, forget about the Rodens and the Schneider. Am I missing, like, the 3-ton gorilla in the or elephant in the room is this Andre Jimenez guy. I mean, I'm scared when I see this guy. And here's the thing: is when the other two guys come back, Varsho and the Santander comes back. Why would anyone in their right mind sit either Clement or Barger for Jimenez? It's insane. And what scares me most is this guy is next year he's going to be $15.6 million. The years after that, it's $23.6 million. We are in trouble.
Nah. I'm just going to jump in here. We got it. You know what? Get over the guy's salary. That obviously doesn't matter to ownership. So it's not, I know people get sick when I say this. Andrés Giménez is not going to prevent the Blue Jays from doing anything, doing what they need to do, any more than George Springer's deal did. Any more than Miles Straw's $9 million are going to do. It's got no impact on what the Jays are going to do in the future. I mean, we got to move beyond that. We really do. This is a luxury tax team. Andrés Giménez, that's chump change. I mean, it's chump change.
They're going to be playing Giménez every day?
He's the everyday second baseman. He's the best defensive infielder, one of the best defensive infielders in baseball. You've got a team that doesn't strike anybody out. The ball's in play all the time. I mean, I don't know about you. I'd rather have him on the field catching the ball than just about anybody else in this team.
Clement is hitting over 100 more than Giménez. So you sit Clement for Giménez?
I'd rather have the ball Andrés Giménez making the play than Ernie Clement. Absolutely. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves here. I mean, Andrés Giménez is going to be your shortstop next year when Bo Bichette goes. The idea that Andrés Giménez is going to keep Ernie Clement off the field, that isn't going to happen. And one thing John Schneider has shown this year as well is he wants to put the best lineup out in the field. And Ernie Clement deserves a spot in the lineup. Ernie Clement, is going to be at third base. I think Addison Barger is going to be in right field. Dalton Varsho is going to be in center. Like, I don't see the issue right now. I really don't. I don't think Andrés Giménez keeps anybody out of the lineup right now.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, there's not a whole ton I can add. I think John has shown everybody with what he's done with the lineup, how he's, moved Tony down after dropping almost 100 on him, that he will do whatever it takes to get the best lineup on the field possible. And if that means you sit your everyday second baseman for Ernie playing there and Barger and at third base and Tony and Wright and Springer playing so Kirk can be on the field, he'll do it. And he'll do it as many days in a row as he has to do it to give them a chance to win. Because you got to remember, too, John's fighting to come back next year also. Everybody here is trying to do the best job they could possibly do to win as many games as possible. So I wouldn't get too overly excited about him hitting down at the bottom of the lineup. Today it was just hitting fifth, and it looked the way it looked because they lost.
Yeah, when Anthony Santon the way the outfield defense is right now for this team, I don't think Barger's going out of right field. I think that Varsho will be in center. You can play games with Springer. You can have him in left or whatever. You can DH him. You can have Santander in left. I think Santander is probably going to DH a ton because of that shoulder injury. I just don't think it's I don't think it's that big a deal. And Barker's absolutely right. Andrés Giménez is when this team is going well and everybody's healthy, he's not going to be hitting anywhere other than eighth or ninth in the lineup.
Yeah,
and that's fine. He's going to give you some speed in the bases, which I like down there. And again, I know people are going to roll their eyes, but there's going to be a lot of balls in play. Like I keep telling you, this is not this. The starting rotation isn't going to be striking out 14 guys a game. So,
but you got to be fair. You got to be fair. He hit fifth, and he looked the way he looked against the White Sox when the White Sox are on the road, which they have not been real good. So you can also understand when fans are watching that and going, wow, you'd like to see a little bit more competitive at bats more consistently. You can't fault them for that. I would just sort of tell everybody to use a little caution, use a little patience. Everybody gets back. Even when Kirky's back tomorrow, I think the lineup will look a little different. He'll be a little deeper down in the lineup, which I think will make everybody a little bit more happy, and the bats will be going to somebody else than him run producing. So Jeff, I think, is right about bat pass and who they think they might be facing in the second inning and the fifth inning and the seventh inning. Like, that's sort of the way they're trying to predict the future. That's why he's hitting in the five hole. Don't look at so much the five hole as who he was facing.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important part of it.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, folks, if you're looking for things to worry about, Andrés Giménez would probably be 10th in your list. I think there's a lot more to worry about in this team, starting with the starters, as we saw tonight. The Blue Jays losing 7-1 to the Chicago White Sox. They'll do it again tomorrow afternoon back here at the Rogers Center. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Castleman and Vanier. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. So protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center, or you can visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.